we not only bet on the VR devices. We believe that the personalization is also the name of the game. If younger generations really believe that the highlights should be personalized, they should be streamed to their devices, then let's do it. So we could ship them their own personalized replay of the game.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. Off into the new year we go. We've had a couple of startups that we're starting the year with, some of which were featured in our last publication, the Global Sports Tech VC Report, which came out in December of last year. That was looking back at 2023 and that's an interesting landscape that the sports tech market presented. It was a tough year for funding, as we know, especially you would know if you're a startup that was looking for funding. But there was a lot of M&A deal flow. It was a year of consolidation is what we've called it for sports tech. That said, with 2024 already, you feel the momentum building. We've seen quite a lot of deal flow in November and December of last year after we published the report, which we, of course, keep a close eye on. And the trend continues of new funds, of new interest and new activity in the market, initiatives, innovation programs, all that sort. That doesn't stop. So the market is still abuzz with activity. And one such company that we want to know what their activity has been over the last 6 months is a company that has been on our pod before. This time, I have Mateusz Szala from Respo Vision. He is the CEO and co-founder. Welcome to the show, Mateusz.
Hi, everyone.
Well, first of all, I think I did pretty okay with the pronunciation, Mateusz.
That was almost perfect.
It was so good. Should I apply for a Polish passport already?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay, that's the cue to say that you are, of course, Poland-based. So if anybody who has not caught the first episode, we did one with Paweł from your team about 6 months ago. And today we have you also were featured in our last report. So before I get to Respo Vision and all the things that you've been up to over the last year or so, and especially the last 6 months, I always want to know a little bit about the person that I'm speaking with. And well, I know a little bit because I've done a bit of research, but for my audience especially, I know you've spent time studying in Warsaw and then in London also, I believe. And your own background comes from consulting. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true. That's true. I started my professional career at the Boston Consulting Group. That was the place where I met Paweł, who I believe was also a guest at your mm-hmm. podcast. We shared a passion for crunching numbers and sports. So it was pretty natural that after a few years, we decided to team up once again and create Respo Vision. In the meantime, I did projects in tech and finance. That's it. We decided that it is high time for us to team up also with other technical co-founders, Wojtek and Łukasz, who help us to build that the deep tech company that is revolutionizing the sports data industry.
That it is, that you guys are for sure. But just to stay on the consulting to sports switch, you might not know, my own background was in consulting as well. I started my career with KPMG. I was there for about 3 years, based out of India, but moving in different parts of the world. What attracted you to sports when you made that switch? Was it, the sports fan in you? Did you sense a market opportunity? Or is it just two guys having a conversation and saying, hey, I think this idea could be something?
Yeah, great question. First and foremost, it was passion. So I really followed football and basketball So it was pretty natural for me to look for opportunities where I can use my, let's say, capabilities and strengths that I gain in consulting to help sports or the sports industry be a better or organized place, because as you probably know, it is the industry that is led by emotions. So as you know, emotions are a great thing to build engagement on, but they are not so great when it comes to run businesses of companies. So if you'd like to add some more value to that industry, I think that it is a great combination of having that consulting background and also the passion for sports.
Yeah, I have to agree. I felt like my background, my basis of consulting, gave me a really good horizontal view of things. It became easier, I think. I mean, I don't know, but I felt it became easier for me to look at something and try to, like, the skills to learn it quickly, or to get a quick sense, if not like understand it deeply, but at least understand it quickly, and get a broad view on things. What are the things that you need to look at to get that quick broad view to, you know, kind of set your base, and then you can attack the problem that you're trying to solve, which brings me to the problem that you're trying to solve. By the way, I have to say, you have a lovely skyline behind you. Yeah. Are you in Warsaw?
Yes, that's Warsaw. That's Warsaw. What you can see behind me is like great picture of what Warsaw or what Poland is right now, because on this side you can see a building which you can also find in Moscow or I believe Riga, Kyiv, and places like this, because it's like a gift from Stalin. Whereas on this side you have the modern skyscrapers where tech or finance companies are located. So this is how it looks like now, and I believe that it shows the evolution of Polish economy.
It does. It looks very cool. Thank you for painting that picture for us. I've never been to Warsaw. I have to make that time in this year. And for those of you who are listening only to the audio version of the podcast and wondering what the hell Mateusz is pointing at, we have a video version that is up on YouTube if you want to catch that episode there. All right. So coming to the problem that Respo Vision is solving, I know you're using computer vision focused on football, but also tackling a couple of other sports. I remember when I last spoke to Pavel, he also told me about the advanced analytics that you were capturing using kind of volumetric data or using skeletal data of the athlete. And then the latest, possibly the most exciting application is innovation in broadcasting tech, where you're trying to create immersive experiences for fans, I guess, like you and me. So that was 6 months ago. Can you walk me through that? What has been that journey in experimenting with these few areas while still staying true to the core problem, I guess, you're trying to solve, which is, and correct me if I'm wrong, it is high quality analytics for football, right?
Yeah, that's a great summary. So we do employ computer vision to solve actually two problems. So first one is we would like to democratize analytical coverage, because up until today, only top-notch clubs in Europe, like I would say dozen of them, were able to use tracking data 2D and 3D, which are available for many clubs, but they were able to use it on a constant basis to distill insights from them and help to better understand their own performance and the tactics and the strategy of opponents. And that is something that really clicked on the market for us. So what we did is we helped to better prepare our clients' teams for the next game based on the match reports that are constructed on top of the tracking data that we provide on a constant basis. So that's the first problem that computer vision help us solve. The second one is that sport, especially in younger generation, is losing, let's say, the competition there is getting tougher. You know, you have the streaming services, the video games, the creators economy, all that is on demand and personalized. So for the younger generation, especially for the Gen Z, the sport is losing relevance for them. So they are twice less engaged than their parents in when it comes to sports. They prefer the shorter versions of the content, so they'd like to watch let's say short summary of a game, not the whole game. They'd like to watch it on demand and on their own handheld device, for example. And that is something that really needs to be let's say solve in a way that sport can become more adjusted to the younger generation needs. And what we do is we gather that detailed data on our skeletal tracking, and we can fully recreate that game in our virtual reality. So you can imagine that on whatever device you would like. Could it be Apple VR headset? It could be the newest TV or your console, or even a game or game engine like Unreal. You can recreate the game. You can choose your own point of view when it comes to camera. You can follow your favorite players. You can be in the first row and watch the game as the coaches do, and that brings some freshness to the whole experience.
Is it only in VR though that you can experience this? I guess the question I'm asking is that you hear a lot about the VR conversation, and of course it's gathering steam with Apple's new headset, which is still yet to hit market officially, of course, and will be priced well over $2,000. So it's not exactly accessible. Meta's headsets and the Oculus and other VR headsets still have, let's say there's a way to go, right, before we get to mass adoption of VR. I still think so, and I think that's not an unfair statement. So in the meantime, while we're creating these immersive experiences which are headset enabled, there is still a 2D version of an immersive experience that we can create, surely. Is that something that you will look at? For example, whether it's just providing POV of player, like on your screen. So like the replay just from the player's POV, for example. That's one of the things we've seen a few companies do that. What is your opinion on, are you building such that you're expecting VR to get adopted pretty quickly and then your services will plug in there? Or, hey, you know, VR might take some time, but while that is happening, we're also building some other stuff which is just accessible through a normal 2D screens on your laptop, on your TV, on your phone, whatever.
So the VR technology is not there yet, I believe, because we see that the first devices are like some form of sometimes feasibility study, sometimes they work really well, but there's no broad adoption of this technology yet. But I believe that the technology will adapt to help either work or feel better entertainment at your home. But we not only bet on the VR devices. We believe that the personalization is also the name of the game. If younger generations really believe that the highlights should be personalized, they should be streamed to their devices that they are really bonded with, like iPhone or something like this, then let's do it. So we could ship them their own personalized replay of the game, and in that way we could have not only the value proposition for them, but also for the commercial part of our operation. So we could help ship better advertisement. We could help ship better content. It would be targeted, and it's not that everybody has to watch the commercial of Coca-Cola or the advertisement of Coca-Cola on the stadium, because not everybody likes Coca-Cola for various reasons. So then maybe they would need something else to be displayed there, and companies would prefer to hit the message on the target audience.
Yeah, I think the question on VR is, there is a sense of inevitability about it, but it's been inevitable for like 10 years now, right? I mean, we're on the cusp of something, you feel, but also feel there is some way to go. I agree with you, and to my first point, that I don't think that we're yet there at the mass adoption, and I don't think we will be in 2024. I don't see any breakthrough products on their way, which, when I say breakthrough, I'm talking about a $300, a 300 euro product, which is really, you know, available and takes it out of the masses. But we'll get there anyway. So let's focus on the second part of your answer, where you talked about with this personalized experience, which I don't think anybody's going to argue is going to be a big part of the future of broadcasting. How does Respo Vision help solve that?
Yeah, so if we build a final version of our system, which ingests the detailed 3D data into the Unreal Engine, so that you can really feel like the game is happening on your on your demand and whenever, wherever you want it, then we have the data how you watch that game. So what is your background? Where do you do it? How do you do it? What other data you would like to receive when watching the game? We can suggest you any bets if you like to bet on the team. We could suggest you special deals if you follow a team. We can also provide something which can be comparable to pay-per-view experience. So if the whole system is similar to for example current FIFA version, then there's gonna be a huge demand from fans to watch the game on their own preferred way. So we believe that we can connect the demand for the new experience with the demand for the personalized messages, so that we can connect target audience with the companies that really like to reach to them, as for example Google did with their ads.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
So then, are you becoming a broadcast kind of plugins provider, broadcast streaming, or broadcast accessories, broadcast plugins provider? Is that one of the suite of services that you will offer?
That's all. That is almost the beauty of it. So what we will create is not only like a plugin or add-on to the broadcast, but we will create something which can be comparable to current to a new IP rights. So you can sell the right to broadcast a game on the TV, in the internet, whatever. Broadcast is broadcast. But you can also sell the separate IP to broadcast it fully virtually on whatever and digest it in whatever form you would like. So that will create a completely new set of IP rights for the clubs, for the leagues, for the federations. That's gonna be something completely new.
And that's a powerful thing. I take that point that it's a new asset class.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I think sports is understanding that. We saw through the first wave of NFTs, and call it what you will, everybody might have their own perspective, but I think the core underlying technology is here to stay, certainly with Web3, and there are interesting applications of it. But at least what that first wave taught us was that this is a new thing. It's a new way for a rights holder to multiply their rights or multiply the power of their rights. And similarly, a new asset class is a virtual broadcast with an immersive experience and also, as you said, creating... So both ways. There are additional services that you can provide to existing channels of interaction through broadcast, through direct streaming, and there is a new asset class that you're creating. So I think the power is there on both sides. Let's bring it back to RespoVision and the last 6 months for you guys, Mateusz. What have been the biggest, let's say, achievements that you're most proud of? What has really moved the needle forward for the business?
Yeah. So let me start with a summary. So as the 2023 ended, we can say that was first year that we exceeded $1 million in revenue. So when you think about it, that we started in 2022 with the blank piece of paper, then we did some feasibility study, then we gathered a pre-seed round, then we built the first version, improve it, iterate it, then ship it to the client one as again, typical startup story. Then a perfect summary of our hustle is that we managed to exceed that magic number.
That is a magic number, sorry to interrupt you, but congratulations to you and the team. The first million is the hardest, is what everybody always says.
Yeah.
So kudos to you guys for executing on that promise.
Thank you. So that is something that we can be proud of, and we did it almost solely based on that analytical part of our business. So we proved that we can ship reliably on time. We can cooperate with leagues. We can cooperate with huge data sports data providers, but also we can really help the teams to gain competitive edge against their opponents on constant basis. So based on computer vision, based on artificial intelligence, we are able to help our clients better prepare for the upcoming game. So know the weaknesses of your opponents, know the weaknesses of your own tactics, because sometimes you are not that keen to see what you did wrong in the last game. You need some help from the broader perspective of algorithm who really see all the time all the players. So that is something unique, and as it turned out, we can ship on a constant basis this data to clubs, to federation, and they are pretty happy with that, with the results and how they can build on that.
Yeah, super stuff. And that is a big milestone. Walk me through the team. Are you guys been hiring and growing, I guess? Is there a funding round that is taking place or has just taken place recently?
Yeah, we are actively looking for funding. Of course, if it's not been announced yet, so I cannot share the details. But I think it's going to happen either first or in the second quarter of this year. So we're going to grow, and the growth leverage is going to be that entertainment engagement angle, because we really believe that now is the time to leverage not only that what we have already, but also that we can do it by receiving some development or R&D help from the European authorities or Polish government. That is also something unique that we can use this to really refinance some of development work.
That's interesting. So let's bring it back to, what are you really looking for right now? You mentioned that there is an ongoing funding round. So obviously, if there are any investors listening, feel free to reach out to Mateusz and Pavel. I'm sure we'll put their contact details in the show notes. But what you touched upon there is an interesting point. So it's a new feature set, and yeah, you're open to working with partners or working with, I don't know, even public offices or grants or whatever it is to try to develop this product set because the potential is there. No?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. What I can also say is before the upcoming Euro Games in 2024, we will ship that entertainment product, and we will share it. Probably it's gonna be available in the TVs and online. The first version is gonna be based on historical data, so that it also proves that we can work pretty flexibly on games that already had been recorded, so we don't need to, you know, install that multiple cameras and stuff like this. We can go and recreate, for example, that could Robin van Persie goal with that, you know, that spider,
the diving header.
Exactly. This one.
The diving chip header.
All right,
cool, good stuff. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, the plan is help to build excitement and engagement before the Euro, so that you know the fans could be prepared for upcoming emotions.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my application. I've got quite a few applications in for tickets for the Euros, obviously here in Germany. I hope some of them are successful.
I really hope that the Polish team will make it through the qualification and Germany.
That is still pending. Okay, so I think some exciting things coming up. Anything else that you want to add for what's coming up over the next 12, 18 months for the RespoVision team?
That's the biggest thing. So we're gonna prove that building that new engagement angle is a crucial thing, and we're gonna focus on that alongside with building a scale for that analytical angle, which both are based on the same core engine, so that we don't have to build a new engine. We just need to develop some new application for that.
Makes sense. Let's take one step back, Mateusz. We've talked a little bit about RespoVision, but I want to take a minute to get your view on what's exciting you in the sports tech market in general, maybe not related to computer vision and your own analytics-based product or even broadcasting tech, anything that you're looking at from the outside and saying, hey, that's some cool stuff that those guys are building, or anything that you think that there is an opportunity which you haven't seen built yet.
Yeah, I really follow how the betting market is developing in the US. So it's quite different than in Europe. Although we were able, you know, to bet for many years, where that possibility was offered to people in the US only in Vegas, I think. So the development of that industry there is pretty exciting. I think that there are a lot of innovations there. For example, that Insta betting, which is completely new and non-existent in Europe. I see that the cooperation of broadcasters and betting companies is much tighter there than in Europe, and that is, you know, that is something that builds more emotions for many events. So I believe that this will grow and this will be bigger, and many of some new and sexy stuff will come from that cooperations.
I agree. I think when it comes to commercialization of an asset, I don't think there are too many people who do that better than the Americans. Like, they really understand what the power of the asset is, and they have a large local domestic consumption base, so they can take advantage of that. But they really understand the power. And you hit a great point just in there, that the connection between broadcasters and the betting providers, I'll take it one step further. I think after the legalization of sports betting we saw in 2019 and the wave kind of kicked off from, obviously, Vegas, it was there historically, then New Jersey, and then it's off and running. So it's, for me, it's not just the broadcaster and the sports betting, it's the sports rights holder themselves. So they have a three-way connection, like whether it's the NBA, the league, the teams, they're all having a strong connection with the sports book And then they bring the broadcaster in play. And a lot of the broadcasters, whether it's Fox, who launched a network and I think took it back, ESPN has launched their own sports book. And then, of course, the other players, the various casinos and DraftKings and FanDuel and such. So it's, you've got so many actors and they're all working together, basically, to try to really push the power of what sports betting can achieve. Now, we can ask questions on who is the winner and who are the potential losers in this. And the some fans, I imagine, will end up on the losing side, but hopefully more on the winning side. And then this the value provided, shall we say, is not only financial. That betting can just be an entertainment product that you spend a bit of money on, like you do on shopping or anything else. And then you, as long as you get limited to that and there's a budget and you play with, then it's, and it's surely not bad. It's not different from spending money on anything else. But that's a great shout. I'm also very curious about how sports betting will materialize in the US, the impact it has on the rest of the world. And lastly, to finish off, it's creating this wave of legalization in other big markets. India has been talking about legalization for a while. Brazil, there has been legislation passed and then revoked and then passed. I believe they're going back and forth. Japan has some sports betting legislation as well. So there's a wave of sports betting, which will, I think, have a big say in the global sports tech market.
Yep, totally agree.
Yeah, fair. Interesting times. Mateusz, thank you so much for taking the time. It has been a pleasure. Thank you for showing me a bit of Warsaw. I have to come and see this beautiful city myself. Before I let you go, though, I always have one last question to ask. It is my favorite one to ask. I want to know what has been your favorite sporting moment.
Yeah, sure. So one more thing. I'm not from Warsaw. I'm from Wrocław. Okay. So that's a city, I think, closer to Berlin, probably. You can also recall the German name for that, which is Breslau. And one of the vivid memories from my childhood is Śląsk Wrocław playing EuroLeague games in Centennial Hall, which is a beautiful place. I mean, it's 120 years old. It is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it has a huge dome. And I really
is that's the stadium, Centennial Hall.
It's not the stadium. It's the hall. You know, there's a basketball there, and I remember that. But after the 90s and the golden era for that, the team bankrupted. It was relegated and stuff like this. And 1 year ago, it was reborn and rebuilt, and they come back to that, to the beautiful place. The place is also renovated, and. Fortunately enough, I was able to went for the final game, sit in the first row and watch the basketball game from the first row experience. They won the championship. I mean, that was beautiful. I mean, that was the best experience that I had.
Incredible. Wait, so this is your local hometown basketball team, and they won the Polish league?
Yes, but the town is not that small. I mean, the third largest city in Poland. So
Breslau, you said?
Breslau in German Breslau. And Wrocław in Polish.
Wrocław, okay. Interesting, all right. I have to go check this out. It sounds like if it's so close to Berlin, maybe I can... Hey, next time you're going for a game, let me know. I might pop across.
Yeah, sure. They played the EuroLeague 20 years ago. Okay. So the let's say the level was pretty high there.
And they will come back to the EuroLeague now, I guess, because they won.
I hope so.
Okay.
I can help in that.
As a fan, we do our bit. Mateusz, thank you so much for taking the time. It's always a pleasure to talk to cool startups doing cool things in the world of sports tech. I think we hit on some very important themes that I think will play a big role in the growth of sports tech or sports in general for 2024. Personalization around broadcast, additional layers that you can add to provide a more engaging experience. And the last one that you highlighted as a key area, sports betting as well. I think we covered some interesting stuff in today's episode. Once again, thanks for taking the time and look forward to more cool stuff from RespoVision. Last quick shout out. If somebody wants to reach out to you, what is the best place to do that? Your email or LinkedIn?
It could be both. Both are fine.
Okay, super. We'll put that in the show notes as well. All right. Cheers, Mateusz. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Appreciate having you on. All right, that's a wrap for another episode. We're going to, I think, finish off this month with a couple more startups that we've seen doing cool things in the sports tech ecosystem. Otherwise, there is always lots to talk about. See you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.